Thanks, Rob. It's the download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me now, straight from the theater, Mr. Chris Jones, the chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Always a pleasure. And I will say, a pleasure to have you be the last segment.
What an honor to be the last segment of the download of 2016.
I love it. You're a big part of the show, and we appreciate the conversations.
It's going to be right now. You're going to want to stay in your car, even though it's cold. You're going to. I don't want to miss the end of the download.
I don't want to go inside. Tap on that brake. Just slide through the intersection.
It's a little slick.
All right, Phantom of the Opera. That's what you're coming from.
Yeah,
right? It's a big show tonight.
Big show. Always a big show. I've been watching that for, it feels like, pretty much my entire adult life. I've just decided. My entire life flashed before me tonight watching that show.
I always try to play it a sort of layman here, but I'm like, is there an audience for the Phantom of the Opera?
There's a big audience.
Don't you want newer stuff? I mean, why do they always go back to the greatest?
Why do you think people want newer stuff? Where exactly did you get that? I feel like everybody's seen that show,
right? I mean, I feel like went on high school trips for that show.
I think it's that, as they say in Hollywood, pre-awareness, that people don't like something they don't know if it's any good. That they go, oh, yeah, Phantom of the Opera, yeah, that's good. Okay. I saw that last time. So this is not the original Broadway production, but a new production, newish. It's the same Phantom of the Opera. There is a particularly good Phantom this time, and there's a good Christine, and it's Phantom of the Opera. The theater has moved on from the show, Justin. It has. It's moved on.
Really?
I don't know about the audience, but the theater has moved on.
I mean, there's been better shows.
It's just a different moment, and there's some things in the show now you go, wow, that's very 1993, you know. But he doesn't care, Mr. Lloyd Webber. He's made a great deal of money.
Right.
And he wouldn't have done that if he'd not delivered a quality show for the people. And the people are still coming.
Yeah, well, there you go. I saw you. We went to the Nutcracker last week. Let's talk about that as well. A tremendous, tremendous production done at the auditorium by the Joffrey Ballet.
I like that a lot. You know,
a reconception, really, of the Nutcracker.
Totally. And, I always like local art. I think there's something about a show that's about Chicago, and that's set in the World's Fair, and it's got these amazing designs that are sort of very expressionistic sort of designs, and it starts out in a little wooden shack, probably like the one you live in yourself, and there you sort of see this young girl have these dreams, and she ends up at the World's Fair, perhaps Chicago's most shining moment. And that's the location for all of the fantasy sequences in the show.
I really like the way they did that because, you know, very similar to the Nutcracker in the way it's all fantasy and all the sort of different countries that they travel to. But this was great that they put it in the World's Fair in that context because it just felt very Chicago.
Yeah, and so you're dreaming essentially of your own city. And it's a time when this city, you know, with all of its problems, it's still the sort of the locus of many of our dreams.
I love the show. I also love being there on an opening night. I don't think I've ever done that. In my years of covering arts and culture, I've never been to an opening night like that.
You cleaned up pretty well.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, I found out later though when I got home. You love this. I had a nice sweater on and a tie that's not unlike you. And I got home and I took the sweater off and I realized there was a big hole in the elbow. And I'm like, what am I doing?
You know, I saw that coming down there. I'm coming down the aisle. I'm thinking, you know, look at him. It's the opening night.
He's trying, but it's not happening.
It's not happening for him.
Well, I mean, it was a who's who. I mean,
it was a who's who.
You had the Joffrey Ballet opening night. I mean, everyone from the mayor down to Donald Lynn,
It was right behind me, and in my left ear, he's going, "It's a great show. It's a great show, Chris. It's a great show. It's a great show." And there's always that moment of like, "Don't you forget who said it's a great show?" You're writing that review. Don't you forget that there is always the Chicago shakedown for reviews.
The mayor.
I never know whether to be appalled or to totally love it. I'm like, where else are you getting shaken down for a great review of the ballet? Where else? You name the other town where that happens.
Good. That's so good. as we sort of break down this segment, we want to also look back in 2016. There's the two shows that are out now, but yeah. You know, when you think about shows at that level, shows that are downtown, they're playing Broadway. We've seen a lot of sort of touring stuff come through this year, but the big one was the Goodman Theater's War Paint, which looks to have a big Broadway run
going to the Broadway. Yeah, in the spring with Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole. They got a bit of work to do on that one, I think. But I think it'll be, it's going. There was also SpongeBob SquarePants that's not gone yet. They haven't got a theater yet, but I think they will eventually.
Will those be the two that we will see in 2017 that had some sort of Chicago history to them?
That's correct. Those are the two that will go from here to Broadway next year. I mean, I think there's a couple of other interesting plays too. There's a cool show at the moment at the Steppenwolf Theater called The Christians with Tom Irwin, who I always remember from. Do you remember My So-Called Life? Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, yeah.
Great show. He was great. And Tom Irwin is an excellent actor. And you forget sometimes, because these guys have been in that ensemble a long time, there can be big gaps between when they appear. And I was watching that show thinking, this is an excellent actor. And it's about a church. It's set in a church. And it's kind of funny because the opening of the show is like you're in a church. And it's a Steppenwolf audience. I'm like, what is this? This is totally ironic. No one's buying it. They've got a choir. They've got a cross. Everyone's going, This is all going to destroy. Yeah. Any minute now, you know, Amy Morton, they're going to come down the aisle and kill us all. but it's actually a pretty interesting show about faith. And it's about a kind of a pastor who has a sort of a midlife crisis. And then there's this great debate in it about what heaven is. And how the idea that, let's say, if you're married to a non-believer or your mom is a non-believer, then why do you want to be in heaven if your mom is in hell or if your wife is in hell? Wouldn't that actually make it into a different kind of hell? So it's an interesting play, very, very interesting play. And I think that if you really hate the holidays and you just want to be depressed, that's your show. And that's always been Steppenwolf's role at this time.
Yeah, of course. Chris Jones, the chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Let's take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk about the sort of trends and threads of 2016.
You got it.
It's been a high drama off the stage in Chicago theater 2016. We'll talk more with Chris Jones coming up. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chris Jones, chief theater critic, Chicago Tribune, in studio. Talking about 2016, the year in theater. You know, we do this segment every year, and I feel like we do it and we just list the best plays. This year, more than ever, we've seen a lot of drama off stage. The Reader had a big profile of Profiles Theater.
Yes.
And all some scary stuff about abuse and some strange things at that theater. Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind. The License Taken Away from the Neo-Futurist. Coming out of that, we got a bunch of stories about bad behavior.
Yes.
Second City, another storyline where they made some changes. Cast members left. You never see that happen. Quit because of, abusive work environment. We talked about it on the show.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of this stuff. I mean, you're surprised to see this in the theater community. It kind of comes off the heels of a year before where there seemed to be more movement for human resources and things like that at big theaters.
I think it's been a very striking year that way. And I think, you know, whether it's a coincidence of you've had a number of these issues that have come up at the same time, or whether it's an indication of, you know, people restless for change, certainly within the theater community itself, there's been a shift from, you know, I think the Chicago theater community has always consisted of distinct populations. There's a population of people in it who just want to sort of quietly do their work and maybe get ahead and maybe move to New York. And like any other business, that requires being nice to people in power and sort of, you know, not making any waves and just, you know, focusing on your own work. And there's still those guys in the community. But there's also a large group of people now who really want to change the community. And I think a lot of those guys have been very instrumental in what's been going on. It's been a difficult year, I think, in some ways, because what happens, of course, is that, you know, when you get a lot of internal roiling going on, which is what's been going on this year, it's easy to sort of forget the audience, you know. And I think that's sort of what's happened with Hypocrites, for example, which, you know, just today announced that it was canceling the rest of its season, which
that's
a big story. I mean, they've been around for 20 years and
they did great work.
They put out a press release saying there's no audience. And I was like, no audience? That used to be a huge audience. I don't know what happened to the Hypocrites audience. And I found that really disturbing because I actually thought that company over the years.
They talk about financial problems. Yeah. I mean, does it come down to the fact that, I mean, to be able to put theater on in places where the Hypocrites put theaters on?
Yeah.
I mean, the rent's really expensive. Did they raise the ticket price? Do you see this more casual audience going, I don't want to spend that kind of money to go see a theater show?
Well, people like to go to Phantom of the Opera. You know, that's the audience for theater is often not the audience that the people doing theater wish it was. It's not the same profile that they really want to play to, which I think in part is what's gone on at Second City, too. The audience is persistently wanting what it wants, and the artists are increasingly saying that's not what we want to
yeah,
do.
That's interesting.
So then you have an issue of like, well, what, you know, what's the right power structure? Should the artists be able to do what they want to do? And ultimately, and I think a lot of people would argue yes, and the audience just has to either not come or it has to find its right place to go. Or are the artists in any way obligated to actually please the people who are sitting there in the seats?
I mean,
that's not a new argument.
That's not a new argument when it comes to any other art form.
Right.
I mean, you see that in music all the time. If you're a band, if you want to play a certain kind of music,
right,
you can get in the top 40.
That's right.
But, you know, Second City is such an interesting... because they've had both internal strife when it comes to the management shakeup, but they've also had theater performers on stage not like the tenor in which the audience is approaching them.
Yes.
So much so in the new review, they have a sign that you talk about in your piece, which really garnered a lot of criticism about the idea of this sort of...
Criticism of the sign and of me for not liking the sign. That's
right.
The sign is sort of telling the audience how it should behave and what it should and shouldn't say. And I think the argument that a lot of people who were very angry with me said was essentially, why are you condoning any kind of, you know, prejudice speech? And so that was that argument. And I'm sort of saying, yeah, but, you know, it's Second City and it's supposed to be a conversation with both sides of the aisle, right? It's supposed to be a place where, you know, a Trump voter can walk in and maybe feel okay for a while and maybe have their mind changed about one or two things. And I think if you start sort of saying, you know, it's not a comfortable place, then you're changing what Second City was. And I think a lot of people would say, shut up, Chris Jones, that's what we're going to do. And you're invested in the old white Second City. It's always been, you know, it's not been right for a long time. This is a new direction and you need to get with the program or shut up or retire or whatever. I think that was expressed to me today.
I thought
but,
at least more than that.
It's the old thing.
Yeah,
it's the old thing that always gets me. I don't know why. I've got to get past that. But I'm arguing, I guess, that there aren't many places left in our world where people with different points of view are going to be in the same room. And Second City's always been that. You've got a drunk convention here from Iowa standing next to Justin Kaufman, that sitting next to them. And that, for me, has always been a place where interesting things happen and where... But, you know, it seems to some degree the theater reflects the rest of the country, right? And there's not a good conversation right now. There's, you know, there's not a lot of this country does not want to talk to the rest of it for whatever reason.
Right. And there's the argument to a Second City show that would be more politically active for one side or the other is because they're expressing their artistic rage.
That's right. That's the argument. The argument is if that's what their point of view is, then that's their point of view and they shouldn't have to apologize for it for a bunch of, you know, racist drunk people in the audience. That's one side of the argument. The other side of the argument says that satire, you know, should always have multiple points of view. So it should always reflect ideally the dominant point of view of the performers. They should be able to poke fun at themselves. That's it. And say no. And that's not where this show currently is at. Now, and nor does it want to be. And I think most of the people would reject my saying that they should be. And there you have it. And so that's it's just a decision that Second City, which after all is a private commercial enterprise.
Yeah.
So it's got to decide what it wants to be. And that's as simple as that.
Where do you see, I mean, as we wrap up here, do you see these same sort of prevailing threads and trends where you said like this sort of a certain sector of the Chicago theater community is going to keep pushing for this and see changes in 2017? Are you going to see some of that's what's happening behind the scenes actually trickle into art that's being done on the stage?
Well, I think there's got to be a multiplicity of points of view. I mean, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not apologizing for that multiplicity of points of view. I'm just, that's my point of view, that you've got to have a variety of opinions and you've also got to have a variety of audiences. And you've got to, at times, you've got to say to yourself, what does the audience want? Because at the end of the day, you know, theater is dependent on its audience. And if the audience goes away, a la Hypocrites, then there's not a lot, you know, you're just doing it for yourself. And you're not, if your aims are political, if there's no one there to listen to you, you're not achieving any political aims. It's as simple as that. And that's a hard, somehow a hard thing to get across these days.
What do you think in 2017, when we look ahead, what are you looking forward to? I mean, last year at this time, we were talking about shows like War Paint or even SpongeBob. Are there things in 2017 we should be looking at?
You know, apropos of your earlier point, I just think the theater in the city now has to focus on the people going to see it. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of great work done diversifying what's on stage and a lot less work done diversifying who's in the audience. And I think that would be my number one thing that I think the theater needs to think about, because there has to be an audience for everything. So before you do anything in the theater, you've got to say, okay, now what's the audience? And it's hard, but it's got to be done.
Great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
It's the end of the year.
The end of the year.
Are you just chilling for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of Blackhawks games coming up here in the next couple weeks, and then we'll be back after the new year.
Oh.
It's going to be good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Thanks for coming in. Chris Jones, Chief Theater Critic for the Chicago Tribune, joins us here to talk theater. Thank you so much for coming in, man.
Thanks a lot, man.